Howdy, regulars. This is Regular Dispatch 97. It's September 14th, 2020. Compulsory schooling in factory schools is a very recent, very Massachusetts, New York development. Remember, too, that until 30-odd years ago, you could escape mass schooling after school. Now it is much harder to escape because another form of mass schooling, television, has spread all over the place to blot up any attention spared by school. So what was merely grotesque in our national treatment of the young before 1960 has become tragic now that mass commercial entertainment, as addictive as any other hallucinogenic drug, has blocked the escape routes from mass schooling. It is a fact generally ignored when considering the communal nature of institutional families like schools, large corporations, colleges, armies, hospitals, and government agencies, that they are not real communities at all, but networks. Unlike communities, networks, as I reminded you, have a very narrow way of allowing people to associate. And that way is always across a short spectrum of one, or at most, a few specific uniformities. In spite of ritual moments like the Christmas party or the office softball game, when individual human components in the network go home, quote, in quotes, they go home alone. And in spite of humanitarian support from fellow workers that eases emergencies, when people in networks suffer, they suffer alone, unless they have a family or community to suffer with them. Even with college dorm communities, in quotes, those most engaging and intimate simulations of community imaginable, who among us has not experienced the awful realization after graduation that we cannot remember our friends' names or faces very well? Or who, if we can remember, feels much desire to renew those associations? It is a puzzling development, as yet poorly understood, that the caring in networks is in some important way feigned, not maliciously, but in spite of any genuine emotional attractions that might be there. Human behavior in network situations often resembles a dramatic act, matching a script produced to meet the demands of a story. And as such, the intimate moments in networks lack the sustaining value of their counterparts in community. Those of you who remember the wonderful closeness possible in army camp life or sports teams, and who have now forgotten those you were once close with, will understand what I mean. In contrast, have you ever forgotten an uncle or an aunt? If the loss of true community entailed by masquerading in networks is not noticed in time, a condition arises in the victim's spirit very much like the trout starvation that used to strike wilderness explorers whose diet was made up exclusively of stream fish. While trout quell the pangs of hunger and even taste good, the eater gradually suffers for want of sufficient nutrients. Networks, like schools, are not communities. Just as school training is not education. By preempting 50% of the total time of the young, by locking young people up with other young people exactly their own age, by ringing bells to start and stop work, by asking people to think about the same thing at the same time in the same way, by grading people the way we grade vegetables, and in a dozen other vile and stupid ways, network schools steal the vitality of communities and replace it with an ugly mechanism. No one survives these places with their humanity intact, not kids, not teachers, not administrators, and not parents. A community is a place in which people face each other over time in all their human variety, good parts, bad parts, and all the rest. Such places promote the highest quality of life possible, lives of engagement and participation. This happens in unexpected ways, but it never happens when you've spent more than a decade listening to other people talk and trying to do what they tell you to do, trying to please them after the fashion of schools. It makes a real lifelong difference whether you avoid that training or it traps you. An example might clarify this. Networks of urban reformers will convene to consider the problems of homeless vagrants, but a community will think of its vagrants as real people, not abstractions. Ron, Dave, or Marty. A community will call its bums by their names. It makes a difference. people interact on thousands of invisible pathways in a community, and the emotional payoff is correspondingly rich and complex. But networks can only manage a cartoon simulation of community and provide a very limited payoff. I belong to some networks myself, of course, but the only ones I consider completely safe are the ones that reject their communal facade, acknowledge their limits, and concentrate solely on helping me do a specific and necessary task. But a vampire network like a school, which tears off huge chunks of time and energy needed for building community and family, and always asks for more, needs to have a stake driven through its heart and be nailed into its coffin. The feeding frenzy of formal schooling has already wounded us seriously in our ability to form families and communities by bleeding away time we need with our children and our children need with us. That's why I say we need less school, not more. Who can deny that networks get some jobs done? They do, but they lack any ability to nourish their members emotionally. The extreme rationality at the core of networking is based on the misperception of human nature the French Enlightenment and Comte were guilty of. At our best, we human beings are much, much grander than merely rational. At our best, we transcend rationality while incorporating its procedures into our lower levels of functioning. This is why computers will never replace people, for they are condensed to be rational, and hence very limited. Networks divide people, first from themselves and then from each other, on the grounds that this is the efficient way to perform a task. It may well be, but it is a lousy way to feel good about being alive. Networks make people lonely. They cannot correct their inhuman mechanism and still succeed as networks. Behind the anomaly that networks look like communities but are not, lurks the grotesque secret of mass schooling, and the reason why enlarging the school domain will only aggregate the dangerous conditions of social disintegration it is intended to correct. I'll stop there. So this is back again to John Taylor Gatto from a book called Dumbing Us Down, The Hidden Curriculum of Compulsory Schooling. The book, I think I read the introduction to this book, and I know I read in several parts his Seven Lesson School Teacher. This essay is placed in chapter 4 of the book, and it's called We Need Less School, Not More. And it should be easy to find all of these in the show notes, regular.fm/97, and there'll be a tag for John Taylor Gatto and education, I suppose. I mentioned last time, this continues to get me thinking a lot about the difference between networks and communities, a real community. I think I'm widely over-networked and under-communityed, as it were, wildly. And as the one who more than any has sort of shepherded the regulars meeting Fridays at Mozart's, I suppose I do appreciate, it's interesting, there's a tension. People come looking for it to be a network, for it to have a purpose, a specific one, and to accomplish something like learning or finding a job and learning something very particular, very entrepreneurial. But it's interesting, like all the seed accelerators and things like that, those are networks and they're wonderful. They're great. And I've always said the regulars isn't a knock on, I've called them vertical networks. And I've described the regulars as a horizontal network. And I suppose that's what it is. It really is a network, and it's horizontal in the sense that there's everyone can be from different backgrounds, and we have welders and painters and academics and technologists and entrepreneurs and, you know, agency people and engineers and just all kinds of different people. And that's really nice. So it's just interesting. And trying to think through, trying to unpack in my own mind, the idea that networks are incomplete. They're useful. It's a tool. He's sort of describes them as tools. And they therefore, as with most tools, like they have a specific purpose, and they're good when you use them in the right circumstance. I guess what I'm pondering is, though, am I myself as a member of networks, sometimes as a organizer of networks? Am I looking to them as a substitute for communities? And if so, I think that's the argument here, is that's futile and therefore won't work out, won't feel right, won't feel complete. And so to think through what sort of communities, he mentions family. It sounds too like he means neighborhood and like the people that you really know. I like the idea too of how a community will know the individual's names and not treat them in abstractions. And of course, one thing that really stood out to me here is his direct connection between education and media. That now, after school, as kids, back in my day, and you can see it today, you come in and you just plug into the television. And so it's mass entertainment. And just somebody else, it's all mediated. It's all mediated with bells ringing from show to show, or to commercial breaks, or to the next class and need a hallway pass to have a few minutes stolen for yourself. So it just continues to give me a lot to think about, and I hope you found it interesting. I did get up this morning. The alarm went off at 4:40. I wasn't ready for it. Got up anyway. Went for a run. That's unusual. I did get a run in already, and recording this now. It's not yet 7 in the morning, and the family, I think, is just starting to get moving. I'll go walk the dog, make some breakfast, that kind of thing. Hope you'll have a great day as a start of a great week. Thanks.